Welcome to the Power of Synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio. I've been with this company for a few years now, and I can honestly say I've loved putting my show on this network. What is synergy? Well, you know what? It creates something. No, you know what? It's what we create. Yeah, then it creates something when we come together. Sometimes as a relationship coach, I've had to explain that concept to my clients before I give them any information or advice because, yeah, there's a lot of advice I really want to give. When I think about synergy, if you look it up in a dictionary, it'll give you a very superfluous and analytical, logistical definition. Well, basically, when we come together, we're exponentially more than what we are when we're apart. That's a lot of power. Do you have an idea of what you do with your power when you come together with people? Do you care about the consequences that your decisions have, the consequences that are created as a result of your choices? Well, I've been doing this show for a while, and I talk about all kinds of different topics because power and synergy and responsibility are relevant to everything about our relationships, everything about our lives that involve other people. But you know what? Today, I'm going to have some fun. I'm opening up the phone lines about a topic, sex, our sexuality. Yeah, we all have opinions about that because it's a big part of who we are. But again, when we're talking about something powerful, it's a very serious matter. And it's a very important theme to remember in our daily life. Even when we're not having sex with other people, we are still sexual entities and we have sexual energy. I was handing out some flyers this week for my GoFundMe campaign for the homeless shelter victims, but I decided to open up the phone lines and tell everybody about it, that you can go ahead and call in and ask me a question, because no doubt if you've watched my show, listened to my show, or attended one of my classes over the last 20 years, you know that my philosophy about relationships is completely different than what you would find in the mental health industry of the United States. But even more so, my approach to sexuality is very different. It's very unconventional. So I'm going to be covering a lot of different issues about the topic of sexuality. But if you have a question about maybe something that I've said, or maybe something that's just come into your mind at some point in your life, and you're kind of curious about my take on that particular question, please don't hesitate to call in. The number is 888-627-6008. And my producer, Don, he's a great guy. He can just interrupt me no matter what I'm saying, whatever the topic, and let me know that you're on the line. I don't mind that at all. Now, when we're talking again about sex and sexuality, you know what? We're not like animals. Yes, reproduction is a very vital part of nature. Everything in life has to reproduce because at some point, if not, it will die. It will become extinct. And so in order to perpetuate the world, everything in some way or another has to continue the process of life. Now, when we have something like people, yeah, we're different. We're different from other things. We're not like animals. And even as people, we're not like each other. Well, that makes it even more complicated and sometimes even more frustrating. But when we think about just the very fundamentals of relationships, our connection to each other, unfortunately, especially in the last few generations, our society has become anti-relationship. We don't have connections with each other, personal, emotional, physical, mental connections. Well, when we think about sexuality, as humans, we have our mind and our heart and our body. They're all very different, distinct entities within the human soul. Sometimes they have their own agenda, their own modus operandi. When we're thinking about connecting with someone else, we don't have sex with everybody we like. Okay, well, some people do, but that's not how we're supposed to do this. We have our sexuality. Let's just think on a very fundamental level, what's the primary purpose of this? Well, we already talked about it, reproduction. But when we have the reproduction, why do we mate? Think about that. When we're talking about mating, it's coming together to create a special bond that will last longer than the time that it takes to copulate, actually complete the act of reproduction. And of course, growing up in the 80s, I heard all the jokes about how men, you know, they get it on, they get it off, and they get out. Well, that's not true. You know what? It's interesting when we talk about the difference between men and women physiologically, right? Yeah, there are differences between us, but the bottom line is we do mate for life, and men are very committed to their relationships as much as women. But again, we're talking about a society that has changed so much over the last half century, starting with the 60s and 70s. We called it free love. Well, how loving really was it? And is it when we have an experience, okay, we'll just call it an act, an experience with someone where we get very, very stimulated, aroused, gratified, satisfied. Yeah, we have something that we go, what do we do now? We can say, you know what? We just did it for fun. We had a good experience. We're going to get back to life. We can't really do that because it is who we are. It's our heart and our mind and our body. That's what makes us a soul. One of my favorite lines in a movie was from Say Anything, when Lloyd Dobler had a female best friend and she said, "Everything has changed. You had sex." And he just kind of looked at her, waiting for her to finish. And she said, "You could be 60. You could be walking down the street someday because you haven't seen each other in years and years. And you could talk about the weather, whatever, anything. What you'll be thinking is, we had sex." Yeah, it's true. When we have that experience with someone, you can't ever go back to what you were before you had that experience. But okay, so what's the point? That's exactly what he said. What's the point? She said, "You've got to do something special. Show her that you're not like other guys, that you actually do care about who she is and what she needs." Okay, well, you know what? A lot of men, they're very good at that. They love to give love aside from sex. But again, when we're talking about the society that we live in, how much of every single industry that pretty much affords capitalism opportunity, how often can we use sex in pretty much any context, in any scene, in any setting, and say, yeah, this is a foolproof way to get people to do stuff, right? To stimulate them, to motivate them. Sex is very motivational to us. We have a whole lot of different things that we want to do in life, but really, no matter how much we like to say it's cheap, it's fast, it's easy, it's superficial, I was just going to have a good time. No, it really is who we are. So then I also explain to people, well, then you need to think about it in terms of your uniqueness based on your personality. You know what? What makes us distinct from each other? What makes us special? A lot of things. We have a true nature that is very different from the person sitting next to us. Yes, there are consistencies in human behavior, but do you know who you are when you're not being sexual? Because that is going to be the key to being truly, wholly sexual when you are with someone else. And you can say, well, you know what? I don't even need another person. I can be sexual without someone. No, I'm sorry, you can't. You cannot be healthfully sexual by yourself, because we have the constitution for connection. Again, I'll say it again, synergy, what we create when we come together. I have had many, many men in my life that have been sexually attracted to me. I have been sexually attracted to men. I have only been with one man, and that is my husband. People don't believe that because, yeah, I'm physically attractive. I'm appealing. I have a great personality. I'm fun to be with. Okay. But I only want to be sexual with a one person who will be my soulmate for eternity. That's a tall order. Yeah, it is. But you know what? My dad said to me when I was a very young girl, if he loves you, he will wait. My mother took me to a congregation. I think I started when I was about six. And basically the Bible said, if he loves you, he will wait. Marriage is the only time and place that it's really going to be good. And I thought, you know what? Okay, I can wait. And because I know that if a man truly loves me, he will think I am worth the wait. That means, okay, now let's just keep going with that. That means I'm going to have a whole lot of men to choose from. I have to make sure I make the right choice. Ask yourself, do you know who is good for you? Do you know what you want and what you need and what you deserve sexually, just as an individual, uniquely distinct person, separate and different from everybody else? Yes, there are consistencies in human sexuality, but have you taken the time to ask yourself what matters most to you? What are your actual preferences? And are you comfortable communicating those things? I've always said it's very ironic. The more we talked about sex, the less effective our communication became. In fact, the more we became vulgar and offensive and aggressive and insulting, the more liberated and entitled we felt to say whatever we wanted, to do whatever we wanted. But where did the accountability go? It completely disappeared because, again, for my non-American listeners, the United States philosophy in a lot of things social is freedom of speech. I have the right to say whatever I want. But when we're talking about sex, you need to make sure that what you say is important, and even more importantly, that it's honest. But how are you going to know what you need sexually if you've not taken the time to really examine yourself, spend time with your own thoughts and your own feelings? Ask yourself the questions. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you prefer? What are your fears? What are your temptations? What are your preferences? Does it even matter? Yeah, it does matter because it's a really important part of who we are. I don't know if I saw it on a television show or on a talk show when someone asked the professional, how important is sex in a relationship? Well, you know what? If your sex life is good, it's about 10% of your relationship. If your sex life is bad, it's about 90% of your relationship. How is that possible? How can something be such a conundrum? Really, when we're thinking about the complexity of our thoughts and our feelings and our physiological responses of our bodies, can we reconcile those different things within ourselves before we even bring someone else into that relationship, into that situation? Because we have a responsibility to the people that we invite into that potentially hugely powerful experience. We are showing a part of ourselves to that individual. We are sharing the part of our soul with that individual that matters very much. It is going to change their life permanently, relationship-wise, to you. Well, you know what? Girls just want to have fun. No. That's not true. That was a really great song. You did good, Cyndi Lauper. A lot of us liked it. But no, we do want a man who respects us and who appreciates us and honors us. Yeah, treats us like a queen. Because that way, when we give him a platinum experience, we have the ability, ladies, we have an ability to take care of men in a way that is even better than anything they could have ever imagined. And you know what, men, gentlemen out there listening to this, we love to take care of you. We love to give you the gratification, the stimulation, the excitement that really does define your life. There are things that you have in an experience that eventually will affect you in some other way, in some other setting that you were totally unprepared for, that has absolutely nothing to do with the original sexual act that was created inside of you by that person. Yeah, we have a different idea of what sex is as men and women, but you know what? Women, when we have the power to do amazing things for men, men are willing to do amazing things for us, with us, and to us, because men love women and they appreciate women and they respect women until women start acting like moody, slutty. And I'm going to try to keep my mouth clean today because I promised my daughter that I would do that. Yeah, when we are horrible women, men don't know what to do with us. They get confused and they get scared and they get overwhelmed and they detach and they disconnect. That is where you know something has gone terribly wrong. If you're entering a relationship with already the mindset of this is a solitary sexual physical act that I am disconnected emotionally from, or I am detached mentally from, that's going to be a problem. That already is a very toxic act. I know it's a very famous line from Pretty Woman when she says, you don't let yourself get attached. You just go through the motions. And that's why she can't kiss on the mouth, because it's too personal. Yeah, it is personal. Our skin is our largest organ. We are very stimulated by our skin. We have so many different things that we are sensitive to, textures, temperatures. How much do we really think about what makes us happy and what doesn't make us happy? Are you willing to ask for what you want? Are you willing to be honest about what you need? Well, that brings us to the really important topic, and that's vulnerability, being in a condition, in a state, in a situation where someone could genuinely hurt you. They could genuinely do damage to you. They have that opportunity. They have that information. Well, what's going to happen now? Are you ready to say, yeah, I can surrender a certain amount of power to that individual because I trust that individual as a person before we ever got to the sexual encounter? Do you trust people, and do you know that people trust you? Well, you know what? Now, in this day and age, that's just icing on the cake. No, for sexuality, it is an absolutely vitally important, not negotiable necessity in that situation, in that experience, in that connection, in that act. Okay, well, you know what? I like to talk about some of the scenes from a movie from the 80s. It was actually from the mid-80s, called 9 1/2 Weeks. Now, some people will just call it a really bad porn wannabe movie, but I always tell people the total time on the beginning to end on screen of sexual activity was less than 10 minutes. And it's a 2-hour-long movie. They don't even have sex until 32 minutes into the movie. But the first sexual encounter was 10 minutes into the film, when he was standing behind her. She was in a deli shop getting some chickens and some other vegetables for her dinner. She was having a dinner party. She turned around and looked at him, and he looked at her. He didn't say anything. He smiled. And then he walked away. And she was thrown for a loop. Wow. Okay, let's just talk about that. First of all, he was very, very confident. He did not feel the need to prove anything. He did not feel the urge to display anything. He just got her attention. He held her attention. And then he walked away. Do we have anymore the confidence just to be able to say, who I am is enough, and who you are is enough? Wow. Well, is it? Do we really believe that the people that we are interested in for life, for commitment, are enough? Is the person that you're in love with, this is a genuinely personal question you can ask yourself, is the person that you're in love with enough of a person, or do you need to change something about them, him or her? Do you know yourself enough to be able to say, I am enough. I am qualified and worthy of all of the things that come with the relationship, not only as perks and benefits, but as responsibilities and obligations. So when he looked at her and then he just smiled quietly, walked away, she was thinking about him and thrown off and nervous. And she actually started looking for him. Then she saw him in a restaurant doing some business with an Oriental man. They were reading a paper and she couldn't stop looking at him. She was pursuing him. Even though they did not have direct physical contact, she was still pursuing him. How much did feminism, ladies, teach us that we need to be the aggressor? And that if a man is trying to, flirt with us, seduce us, tempt us, whatever it is that he's trying to do to get our attention and to get us aroused sexually, you know what? He's trash. Well, you know what? How often were we just told, I was born in 1976, yesterday is my birthday, I'm 47 years old, happy birthday to me. How often did I hear growing up that men, they only have one dirty ulterior motive, they do not have any other genuine interest in you except to get you in bed, and when they are done with you, they are done with you. That's not true. When we think about what does a man really have to offer, if he's pursuing us, is he interested in something more than that, than just the gratification of the sexual stimulation of the, okay, well, you know what? Are you pursuing men, ladies, or are men pursuing you? Does that even matter? Yeah, it does. Because when we have the social exchange, the synergy that we create when we come together, even before the sexuality becomes a topic for conversation, even if it's in an indirect way, we don't have to talk about sex directly in and of itself to have that very intense sexual interchange. Okay, so let's stop and think about that then. When we are really deciding what we want, okay, we need to know what it is that we want. How much are we negotiable? Well, he got to her in a different way than other men, because other men for this lady had, flirted with her. Sometimes as she was walking down the street, they would make obscene noises with their mouths at her. And sometimes they would make gestures with objects in their hands. Okay, so those are not legitimate men. They are a very small part of the population. Do you think, ladies, do you think that men are in general just like that? That all men are, and the ones that aren't are the exception? Or do you think that men are high quality people and that the pigs are the exception? Okay, well, do you know what you want? Would you be confident enough to say, you know what? I know that on paper, my G-spot, my erogenous zones, these things that you could read out of a magazine and get a, but you know what? What really works for me, what matters to me is, and then tell him honestly and say, are you willing to do what I need? And even if it's before we get into that sexual encounter, there are going to be things that you will say and do that will emotionally get me very, very stimulated, or will mentally get me very aroused, okay, when we're talking about who we are as people together, that will be the foundation. It will be the trigger for the physiological experience, right, of the coming together act as a couple that will again completely change what we were before we slept together. Well, okay, so when it finally did take 30 minutes in the movie to get to the sex, it was actually a very unhealthy encounter. Well, why? Why was that? Because all of the things that he had done to her were a violation of healthful, respectful, honorable connection between a man and a woman. Yeah, a man deserves respect. A woman deserves respect. You need to be listened to. You need to speak. There are the symbiotic, right, mutually perpetuated and propelled gifts that we give to each other before we get together and take off our clothes. That way, the more you have and the better quality you have before you even get into that situation, into that setting, that is going to determine the quality of the experience that you have. And it will also be a largely defining factor in what you will manifest throughout the duration of your relationship. Now, again, ask yourself this. Do you believe that mating for life is natural? I'm going to go ahead and let the listeners again know the number is 888-627-6008. If you have a question or comment of anything that I'm saying throughout the show, please feel free to give me a call. So when you think about what you have as something to offer, when you think about what someone else has to offer, the terms and conditions of your relationship, your physiological needs, someone else's physiological needs, when you come together with someone, do you have the ability to discern? Well, you know what? We're not compatible. That's it. So that's a deal breaker. We can't stay together. Well, really? Do you think that maybe that's true? Because I got to tell you something, in 28 years I've been married, I've changed probably a total of 9 times. Three of them were just from pregnancies and giving birth. Some were accidents, some were moving out of town. My husband, I think, has changed probably 12 times. Okay, so let's combine that, 21 times. We have been different than who we were when we signed up with each other. Do you think that your mind or your heart or your body are more influential when it comes to your sexuality? Because I can tell you something, we've got different personalities, and some people, their mind stimulates their feelings, their emotions. Their emotions are what trigger their physiological responses. Well, you know what? Some people, their physiological responses create thoughts inside of them, and then their thoughts produce feelings. Well, you know what? Some people, their feelings are what make their bodies go all kinds of different ways, and then their reaction, their mental reaction to their body is what keeps them going in a totally different way, in a totally different direction. Do you know yourself? Do you ask yourself, do you know how to express that to the person that you're with? Do you know how to ask those kinds of questions to the person that you really do genuinely want to be with? And are you willing to say, I have to modify maybe what I do for you to accommodate you? And yeah, you are absolutely worth it because you think I'm worth it. That's important to remember. And it's also important to always keep in mind, in the forefront of your mind, really keeping all of these different factors as just kind of details. But the bottom line is you are worth it. And so is that person that you're with. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of responsibility. Okay, so now, thinking back just about the movie in general, the theme, the consistent theme of that, like I've been kind of trying to allude to, is there was no communication. They literally never talked. There were times when she would ask him a question. She would ask him a directly pointed question. He just wouldn't answer. And when she would ask him again, and he just wouldn't answer, she never pursued it again. It was like, okay, all right, I'm not comfortable with this, and he's not really giving me anything to make me more comfortable. But what I'm getting is so gratifying and it's so stimulating that I'm going to go ahead and put up with it. That's how we know it was a very toxic relationship. And one of the things that she said to her friend was, she said, I think I've been hypnotized, because he literally got a hold of her mind to the point where she couldn't make good decisions anymore. She couldn't even take care of herself anymore. And then she said, sometimes it's so easy. You know, you just know. And her friend said, you know what? She said, what will end it? It might be the music they listen to, the clothes they wear, the movies they watch or don't watch. You know what will end it, because you find out who they are. She said, but I can't figure this guy out. And her friend said, well, maybe it's true love. And she said, maybe. But she knew it wasn't. There was no love in their relationship. So when we're talking about the constitution of love, how much of what we feel for people is truly unselfish love? And how much do we expect and really want them to love us, to the point where when we say, look, there's no love going on here, we need to stop and we need to fix the situation. We need to change. The communication is where we hit the wall. Now, I've been coaching for about a year now. No, that's right. I've been coaching for 17 years. Sometimes it feels like I'm just starting out, because when I talk to people, I have this different approach than what I did 17 years ago. I started out as a life coach. Okay. I just wanted to help people succeed in life. That could mean money. It could mean time. It could mean health. It could mean relationships. Whatever it was in life that they wanted to have success with, I would give them the game plan and the tools and the resources. But you know what? It kept coming back to, what's your specialty? And I said, well, I kind of don't really have one. Everything just comes back to really knowing who you are and being honest with yourself. That's the only way you're going to be honest with people. And that's the key to true success in whatever capacity, in whatever setting, in whatever goal. And they said, no, you need to have a specialty. I said, okay, you know what? And I'm picking relationships. And every time there was a problem in a relationship, it was about the lack of communication. Now, when we're talking about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you're only going to be as honest with other people as you are with yourself. Do you know what for you is emotionally stimulating for you? What's physically stimulating for you? What do your thoughts resort to? What do your different trains of thought carry out to? What do they manifest as? And how do all of those things going on inside of you that are about your sexuality affect other things in your life that are not sexual? Have you ever done an inventory of how much of your frustration, perhaps with your current relationship, it might be a past issue that you've had in another relationship, affect your performance in other ways, in other areas of your life? You might not know, because you might not ever have asked yourself that. Again, when you're talking to other people and saying, let's improve the situation, the key is being specific, really explaining things to the person that cares about you. Again, let's go back to that question. Do you trust that people care? How often, really, especially now in the world that we live in with this age of technology, how often do people not trust the intentions and the motivations of the people that they're interacting with, even when it comes to a relationship? When you have a dating service, when you have correspondence as the fundamental dynamic in your relationship, when you're emailing or just not even emailing, just reading things on a website, so not even directly interacting with someone, how much do you really know about the person that you're reading about? or that you're writing to? How much are you truly revealing about yourself? How much is too much information? Well, again, that's an individual question. That's a personal opinion question. Okay, so let's just go back to marriage as a concept. It really bothered me when I heard people say that there's a honeymoon period in your marriage, that basically I was told is the good time sexually in your marriage. If you're going to go ahead and wait till you get married, the sex is only going to be good for 2 years. But then I was also told, no, actually, it's only 6 months. Okay, that scared the life out of me because I thought, if I am waiting my whole life for this special person, but it's only going to last, 6 months, a year, 2 years, whatever, then something's going to happen. Something's going to go off inside of me or inside of him. And the sex just isn't going to be good anymore. Wow. No, that's not true. Or here's the, when you have babies. Yeah, well, when you get pregnant, when you have kids, you just completely change sexually and you're never going to enjoy sex ever again. That's not true. When you have babies, when you are pregnant, you can get really, really sexually aroused, especially if you've got a boy inside of you. Man, you have got so much testosterone pumping through your veins, ladies. And when you're breastfeeding, you have very, very good hormonal releases going on inside of you. You get relaxed, and then your husband sees you breastfeeding and he feels playful. And yeah, it's absolutely great having your husband next to your son. This is actually one of my favorite stories to tell people. My oldest son, he's a very ESFJ child. That means he really did like to look at me and he liked to hold on to me while he was breastfeeding. My husband would come up from behind me and actually over my shoulder, he would look at his son and he would come up to the other breast and he would start acting like he was going to start feeding off of my other breast. My son smacked him in the face. It was so funny. And by the time my son was done eating, he was usually asleep. Yeah, my husband would finish off where my son started. Now, when you have that understanding that no, when you have a child in your life, you can take care of yourself and feel amazing sexual things. And men, when you know that your woman wants you to play with her, you can have a good time with her. She will love that and she will continue to be very sexually aroused. Again, it always comes back down to communication. Now, when you have a good dynamic just as people in your relationship, because your personalities are compatible, there are going to be things that are going to come up in your marriage and say, you know what? Well, this might be a deal breaker for us. That is going to potentially be a deal breaker for your sexuality, for your compatibility. Yes, men love to have sex, but you know what? There's a really just bottom line, universal principle. It's better to be on the roof alone than with a woman who makes you miserable. Yeah, there are some nice things about having sex and having an orgasm, but you know what? If she's going to make you crazy, it's just not worth it. Wow. Ladies, do you ever think about whether you're someone that a man would rather be on the roof than in bed with? Okay, well, thinking about that on the other end of the spectrum, there's actually another scripture I really like saying that a man should be intoxicated with his wife's breasts all day long. What does that mean? That means we have an ability. Women, we have an ability to get men in the mood anytime we want. A foolproof, absolutely. Well, if that's going to a good technique, it's going to work for us anytime we want. What should we do with that? Does that matter? Yeah, of course it does, because that's a button. It's an actual button. We can just immediately go push it and get a response, an immediate response, consistent. Okay, so now, when we're thinking about our relationship and the way that we communicate with each other, okay, yeah, well, we can go ahead and do things to a man's body and get him in the mood. Yeah, there are places on our body we can put his hand that will get him even more in the mood. But ask yourself this, Another thing I was told as a very young girl, men only have enough blood for one head at a time. Do you believe that? Do you know that when a man is engaged in that act, when he is turned on mentally and emotionally and physically, because yes, if he loves you, touching you will get him emotionally stimulated, and having that anticipation of copulation, that gets him mentally engaged, and then physically the force is so strong. Do you care, women, that you have that much power over him? Do you believe that when he is in that state, he is vulnerable? Okay. Men, do you know that women don't realize that most of the time simply because they are not told? And the information that they're told is inaccurate. It's misleading because most of the people who are the sources of this information have an agenda that's capitalism, their political power, their social influence. There's a lot of information that's out there. It's propelled and perpetuated through all of these different social media that's really just have what? What was the point of that? And is that even accurate? Is that even true? Well, you know what? Turn around and ask the love of your life sitting next to you. Is that true? And if so, what should I do for you? Yeah, that's a great starting point. And especially when you're looking at someone genuinely interested in their happiness. Yeah, they're very willing to work with you. Again, the number is 888-627-6008. So when we're talking about when someone is willing to work with you, okay, well, are we just promiscuous? Because the truth is, we do want to have sex all the time. We do. And there are things that need to get done in the day. How many times should we have sex with each other? Okay, well, one of my favorite pictures, hold on, I'm thinking in Spanish. One of the favorite text attachments, there we go, that my son sent me was the three stages of a man's sex life. Tri-weekly, which is T-R-I weekly. That's three times a week. Then there's tri-weekly, which is T-R-Y weekly, which is maybe once a week you'll be able to do it. And then there's tri-weekly, which is T-R-Y-W-E-A-K-L-Y, which is weekly with no strength. Attempt with no strength. No, you absolutely can have sex every day, especially, again, if you're in a good mood, if you're physically in good shape. There are a lot of different things that you can do for someone. A trigger, one of the stimulation points for you on your body, may be in a very non-sexual organ place. Well, yeah, if you have the 5 or 10 minutes just to say to the person that you love, let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and take the time to stimulate each other, because we know that when we get this going and we finish this together, we are going to be higher quality people. Yeah, sometimes we do need to do it for an hour at a time. Do you have the lifestyle that will afford you that luxury? Well, start right there. Give yourself that flexibility and that freedom to be able to say, yeah, this is important enough to me that I will make choices in my life that will determine how and when and where I will have the opportunity to enjoy this part of life. Okay, well, drugs and alcohol, how much are they actually a factor when people are being sexually intimate? How often do they need some kind of chemical help? Maybe they'll need something in the way of a drug, an illicit drug. Well, sometimes just the alcohol is a relaxation help for them. How often, ask yourself, how often are you able to be sexually intimate without any additional help from anything physiological? Okay, so when we're talking about what really we enjoy, well, there's different times and places. Do you have maybe music that you like to listen to? Can you be in a certain place where you can be listening to a music discreetly? Well, how about with a person in your life? If there's a certain place that would afford you the opportunity to be with a person, create that, maintain that, and sustain that in your life. Because if you know that at any moment you could have and do and be great things with a person that you feel great things for, that alone is going to make the quality of your life better. You are taking excellent care of yourself. Yes, we've all heard it. Put the mask on yourself before you put it on anybody else. Well, you know what? Part of taking good care of yourself is setting yourself up, your life up for good things to happen to you, for you, by you. When you have all of these things in your life and you can say to people, yeah, you know what? If you actually want to help me, this is one of the things you can do. It would make my life better if you would help me in this particular way. People love to make you happy. And especially if you can tell them directly in very simple terms what makes you happy, they are more than willing, more often than not, to help you and give you what you have specifically asked for, because then they see the happiness that it creates inside of you. And they love to know that they were a part of it. There is more joy in giving. In fact, there have been times when I've even said to men, when I was working or when I was on the way to a location to do something, a personal project, and I say, you know what? I really do need to get back to be with my husband. There were men who wanted to sleep with me. And I said, I really need to give my love to my husband now. They say, wow, you know what? I'm going to give you exactly what you needed. Maybe it was the next cab. You can take the next cab, or here's the next, I'm going into Spanish again. I can't believe this. When I get excited, I go to Spanish. Hey, here's some money. You know what? Go buy yourself some great wine and enjoy it with your husband. They've actually given me personal gifts because they appreciate that I have shared what makes me happy with them. And as people, we do like to know good stories. We've become so accustomed to saying bad things and complaining about everything and everyone in our life that made us unhappy. Keeping in mind that when we have a good experience, a good sexual experience, we are going to be in a good quality state. When people are around us, they are going to pick up on that good positive energy. So now, let's just talk about orgasm and the different facets of it. Because again, when we have our heart and our mind and our body, all of the different things that happen while we have sex, well, you know what? We don't always come. We don't always have an orgasm. But you know what? Most of the time, that's what we're going for. So when we have a paradox of surrender and vulnerability with the massive empowerment and strength and energy that we get from it, how in the world can that be? How can that make any sense? How can we reconcile something that's so polar opposite in those different ways? Well, again, because when we have the dopamine and the oxytocin and the serotonin and the endorphins, that's a lot of good stuff. We have all kinds of different physiological processes, things that are going on in our body and in our heart and in our mind. And we're saying to the person who is with us creating the situation, I love you and I appreciate you and I trust you. Yeah, I have the energy and I'm so chillax. And you know what? And I really do feel strong and confident and still calm that I don't need to worry. Let's go ahead and hold each other. Let's be with each other. Yeah, that's nice. But how about once we get up out of that bed, out of that situation, we continue to maintain what's going on? We have different parts of our bodies. We have different organs as men and women. There's different places where, yeah, we have things like, as a woman, we have our clitoris and we have our G-spot. Those are different kinds of orgasm. A man can come in, literally enter the door of our soul through our vagina and say, this is what I want to create inside of you mentally and emotionally. It's very different when he's in a different position because he's looking at us in a different way. When he penetrates and he can reach a certain place inside of us, like our G-spot that's against the vaginal wall, if he knows that you are flexible and you're able to move and you're comfortable and you're confident with your body, he can actually give you the dual orgasm of your G-spot and your clitoris at the same time. How many men are able to do that? Well, question, how many women are? Because you know what? A man will do whatever you want him to do, especially if he knows it's going to make you happy. You have to know how to ask for what you want, and then you have to be a participant, the support system in that process. Ladies, when we say, this is what would make me happy, well, yeah, then get happy when he's giving it to you. And then there are just going to be times when you say, I can't really do this, but I want to be here for you. I want to be with you. Yeah, there are a lot of different things you can do, alternative methods. And again, I really do like the fact that my husband isn't circumcised because foreskin is a great thing. It's a great thing to play with. It's a wonderful thing to have as a variation, as a variable of the different angles and the different rates of speed, the pace that you go, depending on how it actually crosses over on the head, you can do a lot of different things with the exact same movement simply because of that one factor. Well, some people say, I want to go ahead and use other things, other objects to create an even more enhanced situation or experience. Well, that's good. That's fine. Absolutely use whatever you want. Keep in mind, again, though, it always goes back to the physical as well as the mental and the emotional of both people. Okay, so you know what? Logistically, let's just talk about that. There's three different elements of two different people. That's 3 to the 2nd power. That's 9. 9 times 9 is 81. There are 81 different elements and mixtures and matches that you could have as a couple over marriage, over time, over from the day that you sign up with each other till death do us part. You have a wide variety and a great opportunity to not only grow personally with another person, but also to learn more about yourself and expand your own mind and heart and body through that venue of your sexuality. When we complement each other, we can always be new to each other because we're adjusting to each other. And yeah, giving, sharing with that generous spirit from a source of unselfish love. And we say, yeah, I really do love the way you smell. That makes a woman feel good. When a man can smell the woman on her, on the neck, at the back of her back, when she's not necessarily expecting him to do anything like that because she's busy doing something else. And he can take that time to really focus on her completely in a raw way. That will trigger her emotionally. When a woman comes up to a man and says, who you are gets me horny. That is one of the best gifts you can ever give the man that you love. And then play with him. Have a good time with him. And follow through. When you say that there's something that you want and that you're willing to give, do it and give it and accept it and appreciate it. And that will continue to not only, again, build that trust and appreciation for each other, but that gratitude for the act itself. It is not just about making babies. Yeah, that's a big part of what family is, but it is the foundation for the connection that creates synergy when you're not being sexual. Ask yourself, really, for the next week, ask yourself, what have you been asking for in your life sexually? Who are you truly by nature? What are you willing to do and give and be? What parts of the body are you comfortable with? Your own body, their body. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe it's okay for you to say, I don't know. It's time to find out. Sex is powerful. Power comes with responsibility. Synergy is power. Are you sure you're ready for a relationship? If not, That's okay. Take a step back. Get healthy. Get strong. Get positive. The synergy that you will create when you come together with people will display you to yourself if you're ready for a relationship. And if you're not, that's okay. You can just say, it's time for me to get myself into a very high quality state. Then the gift of that sexual connection that you will be giving to the person you love, they will be giving back to you too. I just want to give you an update for my CAS campaign, my GoFundMe campaign. We've been getting some great support, and the Better Business Bureau has now opened up some rooms for the classes. If you're curious about the dates and times, feel free to go to the website, GoFundMe.com, and check under the title of Homeless Shelter Victims. That's the title of the campaign. You'll see my picture there. If you have any other questions or want any other information, feel free to email me at thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We'll see you same time, same place next week. BBS Radio. This is Gabrielle Cardona.